The four Gospels narrate Palm Sunday in somewhat different ways. The biggest difference concerns the number game. That is, how many folks witnessed Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. In our reading from Mark, we are told that many spread their garments on the road as Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem. Then we are told that others spread leafy branches on his pathway. You get the impression from Mark that only Jesus' closest followers chanted Hosanna on the path up to Mount Zion. If we only had Mark, we might surmise that several dozen followers or so heralded Jesus' entry into the city of David, like a small but enthusiastic entourage escorting a contender into the boxing ring. Now, when later gospel writers narrate the story, the crowd seems to swell. Now, this is understandable since the evangelists were all preachers. And we all know that preachers are notorious for padding the numbers. And not unlike politicians who always pad the crowd size. Yeah. So Matthew takes Mark's many and turns them into crowds. Matthew tells us that crowds spread their garments on the road, and others cut branches and spread them on the road. Luke ups the ante. Luke tells us, are you ready? The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. The multitude engages in so much rejoicing that the Pharisees rebuke Jesus and tell him to shut his followers up. And Jesus' famous response is, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. But it is John, no doubt the last gospel written, who enhances the numbers dramatically. In John's gospel, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and so the entire city is abuzz. In fact, a plot has been hatched not only to do away with Jesus, but also Lazarus. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem, John tells us a great crowd came out to see him with palm branches, shouting Hosanna, etc. The reception for Jesus is so large and so vocal that the Pharisees say to one another, you see, you can do nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. So from a small entourage to the whole world, these are the range of options you have for the crowd size during the triumphant entry. Now, all the movies about Jesus, of course, opt for the largest crowd imaginable. Virtually all of Jerusalem hailing Jesus. But I suspect, as do many biblical scholars, that Mark probably had it right. The Palm Sunday celebration was most likely a very modest affair, witnessed mainly by Jesus' closest followers. If anything, I suspect hardly anyone else in Jerusalem would have much paid attention to Jesus' entry. There were, you remember, thousands of pilgrims entering Jerusalem for Passover. It is quite likely that Jesus simply blended in to the crowd. That crowd who came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Exodus. As if to emphasize that point, Mark pictures Jesus riding into the temple precincts without much fanfare. He looks around at everything and then goes back to Bethany with the 12, it says. And Jesus seems to leave the temple just as quietly as he entered it. And according to Mark, Jesus comes back the next day to cleanse the temple, overturning the tables as we know. So I suspect Mark pretty much captures how it actually happened. A crowd not much larger than our choir coming down waving their palms, well, their palms, hailing Jesus with jubilation. Blending in probably with all the other pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. Now, maybe the gospel writers came along later, wanted to up the numbers so as to enhance the significance of what Jesus did on Palm Sunday. Bigger always seems to be better, doesn't it? Even maybe to the gospel writers. They may have wanted it to seem as though Jesus had taken the city of David by storm. But if that's true, you have to ask this question. Why didn't the Roman soldiers, who were always alert to any disturbance at Passover, why they didn't show up at the triumphant entry? If such a giant commotion had taken place, I suspect they would have been Johnny on the spot. Passover was always the most tense time of the year, and the Romans were keen to put down any hint of insurrection. But Jesus' entry in Jerusalem would not seem to have caused them any concern whatsoever. Now, does this take away from the importance or the grandeur of this moment? I don't think so, and I will tell you why. With very few exceptions in the scriptures, the numbers are almost always small. The biblical word for this phenomenon is remnant. Now, sometimes there are big numbers in the Bible, but they're exceptions. For instance, those 600 or 1,000 slaves who exit Egypt and fled from Pharaoh. Then there is the military prowess of King Solomon, who sends out his armies to conquer the surrounding lands. But aside from those exceptions, the scriptures tend to paint things in miniatures. God seems to prefer a remnant, a small group, sometimes even a tiny crowd. I think of the story of Gideon's army in the 7th chapter of Judges. You should read it. Before a battle with the Midianites, Gideon allows those who are frightened to simply leave. And so 23,000 soldiers up and leave. But the Lord tells Gideon that his remaining 10,000 man army is still too large. So they are told to go to a spring and drink from the water, and he is to observe how they drink from the water. And those who drank the water from cupped hands were told to stand aside. But those who leaned over and lapped up the water like a dog, they were picked to be Gideon's army. I'm not making this up. How large then did Gideon's army become? 300. Only 300 soldiers would face the Midianites. All this was to remove from Israel any boast that their large force gained them the victory. Only the Lord's presence brought the victory, not their strength in numbers. And that seems to be the pattern in Scripture. It is not great numbers that matter. The Bible is the story of a small remnant that is faithful and responsive to God, who provides us our needs. From that tiny family of Abraham and Sarah, a vast nation was born, but always within that nation, a select group responded to God's call. Now, that small remnant is always vulnerable. Elijah thinks that he is the only person in Israel who has not bowed the knee to Baal, that he alone has refused King Ahab and Jezebel what they wish. But the Lord informs Elijah that some 7,000 have not bowed the knee, so you're not alone. It is never huge numbers that respond to God, only a remnant. I think that's what Jesus meant when he told the parable of the mustard seed. It's a tiny seed that grows into a huge tree where all the birds of the air make their nest. It starts with something tiny, even fragile, and grows by God's grace. It's a tiny parade, a remnant parade that escorts Jesus into Jerusalem. But this hardly noticeable parade will indeed change the world. So maybe in a profound sense, the Gospel of John had it right. Surrounded by a devoted remnant, a day would come when, quote, the whole world has gone after him. That remnant has grown so large this day that every tribe and nation gather on Palm Sunday to sing our hosannas and to shout, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That mustard seed has made remarkable progress. And yet the church of Jesus Christ still depends upon a faithful remnant to escort Jesus into the lives of all those who would receive him. A small band of faithful followers can do amazing things then and now. It is never about numbers. It is about our devotion. That's what matters most of all. A small is still beautiful in the eyes of God. This past weekend, the moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church was at the Synod of the Southwest meeting at Second Presbyterian Church. Traveling all over our denomination, he said that one of the most impressive ministries he has witnessed is in a tiny Presbyterian church of 8 members. One of their members one day saw a poor family come to the church asking for help, and they did not have enough money for the diaper for their child. And that experience prompted that good soul to start a diapers ministry in that small rural community. So a tiny seed was planted by a faithful remnant. Now, several years later, this small congregation now receives countless diaper donations, and they have become a hub for distribution to needy families throughout that county. It is amazing what a faithful remnant can do for those in need. And all this shows again that in God's eyes, small is beautiful. This weekend, Pope Leo visited Monaco, that tiny kingdom in the southern part of France. And Pope Leo lifted up what he called the gift of smallness that can do so much good. That very wealthy country, very small, can do great things. Now, the first church I served out of seminary was a large, wealthy congregation in the suburbs of Austin. I was the director of youth ministry. That fall, we staged a huge Halloween party to give our students a safe place to gather. Well, that night, over 100 students showed up. Everyone brought a friend. The party was a huge success, and no one was injured. That was our main goal. At the end of the party, I stand up in my costume, and I announce that the following Sunday, we would visit our church members that are in 2 different retirement homes. Well, the next Sunday, 6 students showed up. I was stunned. 6? So in a moment of exasperation, I blurted out, where is everybody? And then the elder for Christian education, Linda Tyler, pulled me aside from my collar from the assembled masses and told me in no uncertain terms these exact words. Frank, this is everybody. Just be thankful they came and make it meaningful for them. So get back out there with that big friendly smile. And I did just what Linda told me. And we had a grand time visiting the retired members of our church who so appreciated the 6 students who came to see them. And I might add that in 50 years of ministry since, I have never used the phrase, where is everybody? Not once, not on your life. Friends in Christ, it is a faithful remnant that God uses again and again in bringing in the kingdom. Just be thankful they showed up and were ready to serve, because small is still beautiful. So let's pick up our palm branches, okay, maybe not, and sing our hosannas, knowing that God is present, whether it's a massive crowd or just a remnant parade. What matters is that Christ is praised and Christ is served. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Amen.